Welcome everybody, this is How to English. Teach and Learn with Gavin M.
It's a podcast about teaching and learning English as a foreign language.
All opinions stated are personal and references will be given when necessary. That's an aeroplane.
That is an aeroplane. It's a loud aeroplane.
Has it gone now?
Going.
Right.
Quieter. And it's gone.
How was your week?
Good, Gav. Thank you for asking.
Episode 2.
Stop talking over me. You asked a question.
Episode 2. Season 5 of Gavin M's How to English podcast. The new format where I ask M lots of questions and find out about her week.
Yeah, and I ask you a few too. We're just going to chat.
Let's have a good old chin wag. How was your week? Did you succeed in teaching and learning?
My week was great. Thanks, Gav. Thanks for asking. I had a very good week. I always like to bring something new to my students, and that is quite a challenge sometimes, to find something to talk about, an interesting topic, something that I can interest them with.
I think that's very challenging. Have you got special websites where you can pick up some new materials? Or do you just go through your folder of teaching lessons and think, this could be really interesting?
It's a bit of both, to be honest. I've got my database. I've got all my tried and tested stuff.
You got a vault, which is buried deep beneath the earth, and go in there and explore and find all of the wonderful resources that you might need for your lessons?
Stop you there, Gav. No, I've got a folder. I've got a folder on my desktop that's just full of documents and lesson plans. So I've got that. But yeah, I do like to spice it up a bit, get some new stuff. And sometimes students give me ideas as well. There's one particular student who likes to always tell me about things you can find on the internet.
Well, the internet is a pretty big place, so what kind of things you can find?
Well, he's been telling me about Easter eggs.
Oh, it's too early for Easter.
Yeah, I know. Not those kind of chocolate Easter eggs, but Easter eggs that you can find, like little secret hidden things. And I didn't know that Google has Easter eggs.
Secret hidden things in Google?
Yeah.
How do you access these?
You write in the search bar a certain word and it will appear. Something magical will happen.
Really?
It's really funny.
It sounds absolutely wonderful. Now, what's this got to do with teaching and learning, Em?
Good question, Gav. Apart from it being a lot of fun, it's vital for students to follow instructions. And this is online, by the way. So if you're teaching online, it's very good for students to be able to follow your instructions.
Or follow the other students' instructions.
If they know some, exactly. So my first question is, does anyone know any Easter eggs?
I simply don't. But I have heard of these and I wouldn't mind seeing a few myself, Em.
You're going to have to follow my instructions.
And also, perhaps the followers would like to check these out too. We need to listen very carefully to Em's instructions.
Follow along, everyone.
What do I need to do?
Well, first you need to open Google. And this only works on Google, no other browser. Google the words, do a barrel roll. That's four words, do a barrel roll.
Do a barrel roll, enter. Oh!
I want you to describe what happens, Gav.
My screen just went round in a circle three times, I think. It literally did do a barrel roll.
Cool.
That's amazing. It made me feel slightly sick. I'm glad you didn't really warn me, but I did expect something to happen. Wow, let me just do that again. Do a barrel roll, enter. That is so cool. Okay, that was two turns. All right.
Okay, next one.
Can I do it times 200? Let me see what happens.
Can you? Or you'll just...
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, what's happening? Oh, my... Oh, woohoo! Okay.
Next one, Gav. Next one.
That was so cool. Right. What is next? Do I have to type this one as well?
Type in dart mission. Dart, like...
Dart, like... The dart you throw at a darts board?
Yes.
Dart mission. Enter. Oh, wow. Oh, goodness me. I think a satellite just went across the screen and crashed into the middle of the screen and exploded.
Okay, very good. So you're using a lot of descriptive words and you're having to describe a lot of these things, which is really good.
And my screen is still slightly wonky. Let me just press refresh, see if I can fix that. Yep, back
wonky,
to normal again.
Gav, wonky. What's wonky?
Oh, it just happened again. It's crooked. It's not straight. It's not level, M.
Okay, can you type in the word askew?
Askew, askew.
That's right.
Let's have a look. Yeah, it's still askew. It's still wonky. It's still crooked. It's still uneven.
Right. You've learnt a new word there, maybe. Askew. No, you haven't. But anyway, askew also means not straight.
That's nice. I like what you did there.
Yeah. Another one is, you've got to spell this, Gav. Are you ready? C-H-I-C-X-U-L-U-B.
Okay.
What's happening?
Chicks Club Crater. Oh, there's a meteor. Okay, a meteor just went straight across my screen and there was a little rumble, I think, and the screen vibrated.
Nice. But This is a very special meteor. Do you know which one it is? Does it tell you on the page?
I wonder if it... Is it the one that wiped out all of the dinosaurs?
It is, and I didn't know it had a name.
I didn't know, and I don't know how to say that word, Em.
I think it's Mexican, so yeah, I'm not sure either, the pronunciation, but it is interesting to know that that meteor has a name.
That is very cool. The pronunciation, according to the internet, is Chicxulub.
Good to know. Very interesting fun fact there too. There's a lot that you can do with festivals and special times of the year. So if you write Pride Month, for example.
Pride Month, enter.
Gav, tell me what you can see.
I can see information about LGBTQIA and Pride Month, and it's got some dates. There is a beating pride heart made of rainbow colours.
Click on it.
Right. Yes. Oh, there's some confetti coming down. There's lots of arms holding up flags, waving the pride flag in the air. Oh, they've all gone. Okay, I'm going to do that again. Oh, it's wonderful. The confetti is so cool. It's covering the whole screen and the arms are waving the flags. Oh, they're different flags this time. Oh, it's really interesting.
Nice. You can also do this for La Tomatina. If you type in La Tomatina, L-A, and then space T-O-M-A-T-I-N-A.
Okay.
What happens then?
La Tomatina. That looks like tomato. Oh, it is a tomato. There's a little tomato that's bouncing up and down.
Click on that.
Okay.
And then click somewhere else.
It went splat.
Exactly. What exactly is happening?
So I think somebody threw a tomato at my screen and it's just landed on the search page. Oh, I did it again. I clicked somewhere else and it splattered there. Hold on.
So if you want that to stop.
No, I don't want it to stop. I want to do this forever. Hold on. Can it cover everything? And my screen is now covered in tomatoes. How am I going to search the internet?
Can you see a little drop of water symbol somewhere?
I can. There's one at the bottom.
Press that.
Oh, they were all washed away. That's so sweet. I'm going to do it all over again.
So what is La Tomatina, by the way? Have you learned what it is?
La Tomatina is a food fight festival held on the last Wednesday of August each year in the town of Buño, near to Valencia in Spain. Oh, I really understand it now. That's so cool.
See, if you're interested, you can go there and they can throw tomatoes at you in real life if you want.
That's very good, but I think I prefer the safe version on my laptop.
Okay, it also works for the Hindu festival Holi with an I, H-O-L-I, if you type that.
H-O-L-I, Holi. And, oh yeah, I can see some different coloured triangular shapes. Oh.
So what are the triangular shapes?
Oh, I think they're mounds or piles of dye, coloured dye.
Yeah, like powder, powder.
Celebrating the... Oh, I can't read it now. I've covered it in paint. Hold on, let me wash it away. So this festival celebrates Holi or Holi. A popular, significant Hindu festival celebrated as the Festival of Colours, Love and Spring. Oh, I love it. That's so cool.
What do you think happens during that festival?
Well, I've seen pictures of this and I'm actually looking on Google and it shows me people throwing big handfuls of coloured powder and dancing and singing and just having loads of fun. It's amazing.
Exactly. So you can get a lot out of this, I think. You can talk about a lot of things. It goes on and on. There's ones that connect to TV programmes and films as well. Well, I won't get you to do them, but maybe I'll just mention The Last of Us if you Google that.
That's the one with mushrooms.
That's right.
Oh, and I'm going to check that later.
Thanos Snap.
Oh, I can't imagine what happens when Thanos snaps his fingers.
You'll have to Google it and find out.
I am totally going to do that after the show. You should probably put all of these links in the show notes.
I think we'll do that, Gav. But that's been fun this week. I think my students have enjoyed it. Mm. So we've done a lot of describing, and also you've got to make sure everyone's following the instructions. So if everybody's going, oh, then you know they're following. And if one person's just looking a bit blank, you're like, has it worked? What have you done? What haven't you done? Have you spelt it right?
I really like that. I like the idea of describing those different festivals or national holidays or TV shows, as well as just simply a description of what's happening on your desktop.
So that's how my week started, Gav. How about you? How was your week?
My week was very good. Very different from day to day. I found myself reflecting on a few questions and I wrote them down in preparation for today's conversation, Em.
Questions from your students, you mean?
Questions for, from, to myself. I thought I'd bring you in on this, Em.
Okay. So as your week was going along, you were asking yourself questions.
I was. There was a lot of reflection this week.
Right. Okay. What would be a good place to start?
Well, I was sitting there after one lesson and I thought, what would M do?
Uh-huh. Try me.
Well, how would you answer this question? You have a student who's ambitious, hardworking, dedicated, keen to improve their English, have quite a high-powered job that has pushed them into having to speak, communicate in English. So they think to themselves, right, now this is a good time for me to really step up my game in English, really improve my skills, be able to communicate with all these colleagues in English.
Mm.
The problem is, Em, they're very low level.
Mm.
What do you do?
Wow. I would recommend an intensive course, probably, if that's possible.
It's not possible. They've got, let's say, 1 hour a week.
Okay. I think you have to...
Before you tell me, Em, what kind of challenges do we face with this student? For example, there's a lot of language, there's a lot of very complex language and concepts the student needs to learn, but they may not have the basics.
Mm, it's a real challenge.
What other problems could they be facing?
Well, expectation of other people and also their own expectations. I suppose these people in high positions are used to getting results fast, so they expect the same of their English teacher and
possibly, themselves.
Maybe not themselves, is what I'm saying. Perhaps they demand it of other people to get them where they want to go.
Oh, interesting.
But yeah, possibly themselves too. But you have to be realistic. I think you have to say, you have to ask the student on the first lesson what their goals are.
And if they tell you their goals are to be proficient and able to speak to other people in English perfectly and on very high-level topics.
Well, then you say, well, how often have you got time to study English? Can you do anything in your own time? Have you got any other people who can help you with English? Have you got any other ways of learning, podcasts or audiobooks? And if the answer is no to everything, then I think you have to just say, it's not going to work. Like, we're not going to be able to get you there because you don't want to get to a point where a year later they're saying to you, I can't do what I want to do. And why is that? It's your fault.
Well, it may not be a year later. It may be 6 weeks later. And they say, I still can't understand when I'm having a video conference with my boss.
Whenever that goal is, I think you have to be honest. Obviously, don't demotivate them.
Well, that's the problem because you've got a really motivated student, but you're only seeing them for, let's say, an hour a week.
Yeah.
How can those goals really be met? It's not very realistic, is it?
It's not, but I can see that it happens quite often. So I think you have to be very positive, very motivated as a teacher to say, absolutely, yeah, we can improve your English, we can practice as much as possible. But then I think you have to say, from their side, they're going to have to put in a lot of work and possibly sacrifice their free time to get to where they want to go, or have more lessons with you if that's possible as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you think analogies work in this case?
Like, you mean professional football players have to play football all the time to get to top level?
That is a very good example. I use the example of learning to drive, but I think actually a professional football player doesn't train 1 hour a week.
No, and yeah, anything, you know, learning a musical instrument or learning to drive, that is a good example. So I think you're right. If you put it into perspective of something else you would like to learn to do,
and you explain that to the student and you give the analogy.
Yeah. I think they could see maybe where you're coming from, and there's no magic pill that you can swallow that's going to suddenly improve your English to the point you hope it will. But yeah, I've had students like that, and it is hard to tell them.
What happened long term then with that student?
I think they always had the idea of something, but the reality was very different.
What do you mean, the idea of something?
Well, like, I think they always had the idea that they would improve dramatically because that was what they really wanted, but the reality was very different.
They had very short term goals and thought that they could achieve them, but in fact, it wasn't the case.
Yeah. And quite often, people in those positions are very busy and they're late to the lessons, or they skip lessons, and they start off strong, but it tends to peter out a bit, their enthusiasm and also their attendance. So then it gets even harder, and then they're stagnating and you're trying to push them to somewhere they're never going to get to.
It's really tough.
Good luck with that.
Thanks, Em.
I think if you just show that your game is on, then they can't criticise you for that, I don't think.
I'm not sure of enthusiasm, but obviously, if I'm sitting there on my own and there's no student, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Em, would you like a coffee?
Thanks, Gav, but you know I only drink tea.
Oh, yeah. Well, that could be arranged.
Oh.
Followers, if you're enjoying listening, watching or reading Gav and Em's How to English Pod, visit ko-fi.com/How to English Pod.
That's ko-fi.com/How to English Pod. And it would be lovely if you bought us a coffee or a tea to show us support. And you could even get a mention on our show if you'd like.
Em, thank you for giving me your advice on what would Em do. It's really useful.
You're welcome. Before we carry on with your week, Gav, can I just ask you one thing that came to my mind? And I thought, what would Gav do?
Please do.
I was talking to my student. We were doing a business book about CVs, recruitment, onboarding processes, and it finished with interview questions. And this was a one-to-one. And I asked the student, have you ever interviewed anybody in your job? And he said, yes, I told you that last week. We had a whole conversation about it. And what would you do in that situation, Gav?
I say, oh, yeah, I remember now.
Yeah, that's what I said. But it felt really awkward. And I thought, oh, I should have remembered.
I think my students have got used to me forgetting everything they say. I talk to so many people. I get so much information.
Everything.
Well, maybe not everything.
No, I don't think everything.
I forget a lot of what they say, but I think they just accept that I talk to a lot of people. I have a lot of students and they tell me many different things. So I can't always remember. But I do apologise to say, oh, of course, I remember you told me that you were on holiday last week and you went to that place and you had so much fun. Oh, it's wonderful. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, that's the best way, I think, if you can remember something from the conversation, to actually volunteer. Oh, yes, I do remember. And you were talking about this. Yeah, I just felt like for a minute, oh, I failed. That was bad. But okay, nothing to worry about. I just should have been paying attention a little bit more.
Maybe, but I think you already keep notes on a lot of your students and what they've been up to.
I'm finding I'm writing a lot more notes because I'm terrified of forgetting things. So I have little kind of dossiers on everybody, what they're doing and work, free time. Yeah, it's quite important, I think.
And does that fit in with your GDPR limitations?
Oh, I don't know. That's an interesting point, Gav. For my eyes only. I mean, does GDPR go into sort of pet names? Because actually, while we're still on this topic, my student last week told me the best story. As actually, it was one of the other students asked her, why did you choose the name Jupiter for your cat?
Nice. Oh, I like that name.
Which is a lovely name and a lovely question. And I was thinking it was going to be something like, oh, I like space and, you know, watched a film or something. And she said it was because when they got the cat as a kitten, it had a lot of gas and it was always farting and very bloated.
Oh.
And they said it looked like a
planet.
Think they looked like a planet, but also because Jupiter is a gas planet.
Oh, wow.
They
That's
called
so
it
clever.
Jupiter. Isn't that just
I love it.
Great? And these things you're never going to find out unless somebody asks a great question like that.
That is a really good question and a fabulous answer. I love hearing pets' names.
So I did write down the name of the pet, but I don't know, maybe I should burn it all.
Well, maybe you should destroy it after 3 months.
Yes.
With permission of the students.
That's right. Okay.
Do you have a favourite student?
No. Do you? One favourite student.
Well, I wouldn't say like a single one out of all of the students.
I've
but
got some
you get favourites, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah. There's some that, let's say, stand out.
Yeah, you might have a group and then you think, oh, I really like that particular student and I'm looking forward to hearing their answer to this particular question.
We're not supposed to say things like this, Gav. We're supposed to say they're all special, they're all fantastic, nobody's better than anyone else. But honestly, yes, yes, of course.
Okay, fair enough. And why are they your favourite student, Em?
Well, usually because they show a lot of interest and they're really motivated and they're trying really hard.
Is that all it takes?
Yeah, they don't have to be good at English. They just have to be trying really hard.
But is it not that they've got really interesting answers or views or opinions on things?
Sometimes, yeah. But I think as well, it's just nice to see people making the effort.
Because I really like it when students show a lot of personality, when they say things you're not really expecting or they tell you about their hobbies or free time activities.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. That's cool.
Or the reason why their cat's called Jupiter. Yeah, all that too.
My next question, Em, how do you avoid favouritism?
Oh, you're getting really into this now. I think I am constantly reminding myself that everyone should be equal and they all deserve to be there and they could all do with practising equal amounts.
I agree.
And I have to be really mindful of how much time each person's speaking for.
That's absolutely true.
That they all get a turn.
Which I'm very conscious of.
Other than that, I mean, they can't know what I'm thinking. They can't know that I'm not that interested or that I am really interested, as long as I'm giving the appropriate response, which is what I try and do.
It can be a bit tricky, though, if you've got very quiet students in the group and then very confident students and you feel you might be giving priority to a more talkative student.
That does happen. But then that's life, isn't it? Sometimes the people that are more confident will get more time. But you can only give them an opportunity. And if they decide to give you a short answer, maybe that's all they want to say and that's all they have to say. And unless you demand it of them, which I wouldn't really do. I try and elicit more if I just get a yes or a no, or, you know, well, that's part of the problem if you're asking closed questions. But if I ask a, you know, how was your week, and they say just fine, then I will dig a bit deeper and try and get a bit more information. If they say it was busy, why was it busy? Then it's hard to just give one word answers. So it elicits a bit more. But it could be that they don't have the language. It could be they're not in the right mood. They're feeling tired. So I think you can only push it so far. What are your thoughts, Gav?
No, I absolutely agree.
Okay.
Thanks for that, Em.
I did actually ask my students this question as a lead-in for a lesson about prefixes and suffixes. So I asked them to describe their week in one word.
Oh, I like that activity.
So what would you say, Gav? What was your week like in one word?
How long have I got to prepare for this answer?
5 seconds.
Varied.
Varied. Okay, that's a nice word.
So I had some moments of intensity. I had some moments of chill, relax. And overall, it was pretty normal.
Okay, you're going to go with varied or normal? Oh, they're both good. They're both good. Okay.
No, I chose varied.
Varied.
No, forget the normal.
Well, I might come back to that anyway, but varied. Varied is good. And you've told me a bit about why it was varied. So what is the opposite of varied?
Boring. No. Monotonous.
Nice. Monotonous. Okay, that's a good one.
Unwavering.
You're Googling this.
No, it's probably right. Not right.
Okay. Well, it generates a lot of conversation anyway, and it's a little bit of a challenge for me because I don't know what they're going to say, obviously. So it's a challenge as a teacher to come up with the opposites of these words. But yeah, varied is a hard one.
Do they expect this every week now so they can actually prepare?
No, that was a one-off. But coming back to normal, what's the opposite of normal?
Abnormal?
Yeah, but you wouldn't say my week was abnormal, would you? That sounds weird.
No, that's not right.
So you would probably say the opposite of normal in that situation would be...
Unpredictable?
Yeah.
Varied.
Well, anyway, the reason I was getting to these words is that...
Unusual.
Unusual. Very good.
Irregular.
Yes. Yes.
Non-standard.
Yes.
Different from usual.
Nice. But what you've said a lot of are prefixes, and that's what I wanted to teach. I wanted to get into prefixes.
That is a great lead-in for prefixes in the lesson.
Yeah. And it was all about whether or not you change the word to make it opposite, like boring, interesting. But then you can say uninteresting, but you can't say unboring.
Mm.
So there was a lot of conversation, and sometimes the word's the opposite, sometimes the prefix makes it opposite. And sometimes the word doesn't really work, like abnormal. You wouldn't say it in that context, even though there is a prefix for it.
Very, very clever. Em, I like you suggesting lead-ins for different lessons. You should do this every episode.
Thanks, Gav. I'll consider it.
Em, tell me more about your week.
Last episode, Gav, I told you I was focusing on correcting my students' errors, and mm-hmm. that was my goal this year. But now I'm struggling a little bit with the balance between correction and showing interest and genuinely wanting the students to talk about the topic rather than just correcting their mistakes.
How did you approach this? Did you sit them down and say, okay, class, I want to focus on correcting errors this year?
No, I didn't do that. I didn't tell them. I think it's just my own idea. But whereas before I really kept the conversation going and gave lots of enthusiastic responses that kept the students talking.
Even if they were making mistakes?
Sometimes, yeah.
Oh, Em, how can you do that?
That's the endless balance of a teacher. It's hard to get it right. Well, I'm finding that the pendulum is swinging a little bit the other way now where I'm overcorrecting and losing track of what they're talking about.
So. Oh, yes. And they will also lose their train of thought if you keep interrupting them.
Yeah, I've had that happen a couple of times where they've got lost and they've said, what was I saying? And I've thought, oh, I don't know anyway. I was thinking about the grammar.
So you're correcting the grammar specifically or?
Everything. I think it's more just a holistic kind of. That's wrong. What was that word? Was that the past? Did you say that? What was that word? You know, it's inhibiting the flow of the conversation. So this is a battle I constantly have to fight. Which one is priority? You seem quite good at it, I think. You seem quite good at easing the error correction into the conversation naturally.
I think it depends on the group. Some groups will respond fine to being interrupted and some it's best not to interrupt them. Depends on the error as well. If it's a really serious error or if it's an error that they keep making, then yeah, I'm going to step in and say, I'm sorry, but this is distracting me or I don't understand what you're talking about or it makes no sense.
But those are the corrections that do stop the conversation dead, and then it's quite hard to pick it up again after that. It's like, we've just had a mini grammar lesson, and now I'm asking you to continue with your story about your holiday.
Well, you can make notes if you're listening intently. Then if you think, oh, I'm going to have to stop them there, you write down the last thing they said while you're at the same time saying to them, now, was that the correct tense? Because you said the present, but I think you're talking about the past.
Yeah, and then coming back to your lovely dinner in the Mediterranean, what was that starter you ordered. Yeah, it's challenging. That's what I'm struggling with a little bit at the moment. But I'll probably end up letting it go again. That's what I kind of get annoyed about with myself, is that I end up just letting the mistakes go.
Oh, see, I wouldn't really be able to do that. Also, remember, if it's a group class, you can then say, okay, student B, what was student A talking about? Yes, exactly. It was so interesting that you were also listening very, very carefully. And if student B wasn't listening, then there could be some trouble.
Yeah, well, that's good maybe, but how's that help with their error correction?
Well, it will increase engagement. And as you said, if you can't remember what the topic was where you stopped, then hopefully the rest of the group will be able to step in and say, oh, yeah, we were talking about this.
Oh, okay. Well, it's just a bit messy, isn't it? So what were we talking about, class? Who remembers? No, nobody. Nobody was listening. Okay, well, let's just forget about it and move on. Well, I'll let you know how it goes. But that's my challenge for myself, to get the right balance.
I really like that. Maybe you could pick one particular group that you often have problems with, and you can say to yourself, this lesson, I'm going to listen for articles. I'm going to make sure that the A and the and no article are correctly used.
Okay.
And if they're not, I will stop the class. I will get them to correct themselves. It could be writing something in the chat. If you're face to face, you could write on the board, and the students have to correct the sentences.
I like that, maybe, as an idea, just to even tell them at the beginning of the lesson, today everybody needs to really think about this thing, even though that's not maybe the topic of the lesson. It could be something completely unrelated to the grammar, but the point is, when you are talking about this topic, focus on getting it right, and then you could do prepositions a different week, something like that.
And I think the teacher shouldn't overwhelm themselves with trying to correct all mistakes across all of the classes that whole week. Just focus on one class and say, right, I'm going to see how it works with this class, see if I can do it. What's the best technique? Can I then transfer the same technique to another class? And then maybe the following week do that again with another group.
That's what's so fun about this job, Gav, is you can mix it up. You can try things, experiment, see what works, see what doesn't work. So, yeah, I like your ideas. Thank you.
As you know, we like to finish every episode.
You like to finish every episode.
I like to finish every episode with a quiz.
I don't know if I ever agreed to this. It just happened, didn't it? But yes, we even have a jingle.
Quiz of the week. The inspiration for this quiz, M, was that I was looking at some sentences with my students. Now, you might find these sentences in a video. There may be...
Video.
You may hear them in a video. You may see them written on an article. It could be...
On an article.
Now, you may hear one of these sentences written. You may see one of these sentences written in an article you're reading with your student. You might hear it on a podcast, or perhaps it's featuring in a video somewhere.
Everyday language.
Exactly. Now, this particular sentence came up while we were talking about the topic of homes and houses. And one of the students said, he lives in a beautiful house. It's in the countryside. And I thought, that's quite a nice sentence. I wrote it down. And one of the students raised their hand and said, I don't understand. And I said, what's the question? And the student said, what does it's in the sentence mean? So in the sentence, he lives in a beautiful house. It's in the countryside. What is it in the sentence? And of course, some students don't know what these pronouns stand for. And you have to be very, very clear with the students. Make sure that they're following what's happening. Em, can you tell me, what does it mean in this sentence?
The house, Gav.
That's it. It refers to the house. So it's the pronoun that's referring to the house that was in the previous sentence. Now, this is quite easy for you.
This exercise is quite easy for me. Yes, that's right.
And possibly for the followers too. So I thought a little quiz for everybody might be that we look at it and there as dummy subjects. Have you ever heard of dummy subjects?
No.
No, but you're about to. And they're pretty common, so you will see these. But keep in mind that your students may not know what it and there means in these sentences.
Am I going to just get thrown into this, or are you going to explain it to me a bit more?
I'm just going to throw you straight in the deep end. Em, okay. What I want you to do is I'm going to read the sentence to you. There'll be a beep with the missing word, and I want you to tell me, is it or there? And then I want you to tell me what it or there describes in the sentence.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
And followers, I hope you're playing along too. It's 10:30. We should go home soon.
It's 10:30. We should go home soon. It's 10:30. What is it? The time.
It refers to the time in that sentence.
It was not that easy.
It's 10:30. We should go home soon.
Mm.
The next one is, if you're hungry, it's some lasagna in the fridge.
So standard, isn't it, to say these things? If you're hungry, there's lasagna in the fridge.
There's some lasagna in the fridge.
There's some... What is there? There's some lasagna in the fridge. The place? Is it the place? No, it's the food. The food is in the fridge, but there is lasagna. I don't know.
I don't know either. I think we're talking about the fact of being present. Present.
There is lasagna in the
is
fridge.
Is lasagna.
Present is lasagna. It exists.
The existence of this thing. That is great. The next one. Don't forget your mum's birthday tomorrow.
Don't forget it's your mum's birthday tomorrow. It's your mum's birthday. Isn't that a bit like the lasagna? It's a fact that this thing is happening.
You explained that really, really well.
Only I think... because of the lasagna, to be honest. I haven't thought of it before.
I think a student might be quite confused and may forget to use the pronouns in these sentences.
But what would they say instead? Don't forget your mum's birthday is tomorrow, is what maybe a student would say.
Nice. The next one is, very warm in here. Can we open a window?
It's very warm in here. Can we open a window? The temperature is very warm.
It refers to the temperature, the feeling, the condition, the climate.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's very warm in here.
Gav, can I stop you there? Because I think there must be some rules for this. I've never taught it, if I'm honest, but I feel like there must be a page in a book somewhere that explains the reasons.
Has it never come up and that's why you've not needed to?
Well, yeah. Maybe it's the very low levels that they learn this, but I've never taught it.
Maybe it's not taught as a grammar point itself, but is learnt just through practice.
Could be that as well. Yeah. So have you got any rules for this?
There's some information on learnenglish.britishcouncil.org. Using it or there as dummy subjects. It recommends. Use there.
It recommends. You mean the website, yeah?
The website recommends to use there if there is no other subject. We use there to talk about where or when something is. For example, there's an interesting book on the shelf.
Right.
And for a number or amount, there is plenty of bread left. When something exists or happening, for example, there's a small problem. We use it to talk about times and dates. It's nearly 1 o'clock. The weather, for example.
It's sunny. It's okay. Yeah, I could see a pattern forming there with definitely the numbers and the time. Thanks for the lesson. Good to know.
Are you done?
I'm done, but I think that's a good example of a student asking a very simple question, or it seemed to be a simple question, and the answer being really complicated. So when students do say, what is it and why is it? And you think, why do we say it in that sentence? Teachers have to know all this or suddenly have to come up with an answer, and it's hard.
Well, as you started the episode, maybe Google is the answer.
If you can explain it very quickly.
Mm.
Or you mean just distract them with Easter eggs?
No, you could do that also.
That's good, isn't
wow,
it?
Wow, look at the tomatoes splat.
Good strategy. Thanks, Gav. That was educational.
Thank you for cooperating with me on this episode. I feel that I learned a lot. I know what M would do in some situations, but maybe I might ask you a few more questions.
Well, I hope you will. That's what we're here for, isn't it? Questions, answers.
That's right, Em. See you in a fortnight.
Bye-bye.